This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
How are you today, Harriet?
I'm great. You know, I've got my big headset on. I'm loving life. Like, the weather is actually okay up where I live for once. Like,
yeah.
Feeling good.
Spring is feeling like it's sprung.
Yeah, spring is sprung.
Shall we dive into this week's topic?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, first up, Meta considers charging for ad-free Facebook and Instagram in the UK. When I first read this, I essentially was like, what? But then I think you mentioned before that they're already doing this in the EU, so it's not a new thing for them to ever do.
But I had no idea that they offered this.
Same. I guess we'll discuss more what this means, but essentially they're saying that they're considering a paid subscription in the UK, which would remove ads from its platforms. I mean, it makes sense that you do that to have the option to have no ads.
Yeah, but it's a model that they've applied for like streaming services. So I guess why not also another form of entertainment, social media, because I guess that's kind of like what it's becoming now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's €5.99 euros a month in the EU, and it'd be like £5 a month in the UK.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
No, because I'm trying to limit my use of social media. I don't really use Facebook apart from Messenger to keep with some family group chats. Mm-hmm. And Instagram, I'm using it like less and less because I don't even think it's the ads that annoy me. I just kept getting suggested and recommended reels and photos in there of people I'm not following more than the actual people I am following.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a mess. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't enjoy using it. And when I do get sort of stuck in the algorithm, I'm like, this isn't actually stuff I would go and watch.
It's like, why am I actually spending time on this?
So I don't think getting rid of ads would work. The only type of service I'd probably pay for ads free is something like maybe YouTube. But again, probably not, because I don't want another subscription-based solution I'm paying for and forgetting to cancel, etc. Like, I feel like you'd have to be like a hardcore user to want to get rid of ads on Instagram and Facebook to pay that £5 a month. Yeah. What about you?
For me, I feel like £5 is quite a lot. I do get annoyed by the ads sometimes, particularly I like watching stories. So I will like religiously watch everyone's stories. And if there's like a massive backlog, sometimes I find it really annoying how many ads they serve you, because it'll be like friend story, ad, friend story, ad, ad, friend story. You know, it's like, oh my God, guys, I've got so many to get through. Stop. But at the same time, you know, sometimes I have been served a targeted advert and I've been like, that's what I want. And then I've bought it straight away. So it's like, would I want to, you know, remove the potential of those future purchases?
I
think
I know what you mean.
What could be quite interesting is if they open this up as a model, could they then offer other things? So like, could you, like you're saying, you don't like that it's giving you suggested, could you have like a friends only subscription where you only see everybody that you follow?
Yeah, I mean, you have a tab, right? But I mean, if you don't know it's there, you don't know to navigate to it. But also, like, I think you still see ads in your friends only tab, though. It's just you're not seeing other random,
like, suggested for you.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring back old Instagram.
Well, maybe, like, I would pay for that. if it was £3 a month to have old Instagram, that's the subscription that I would pay for.
When it was just like people taking a photo of like the fruit on the table, like, look at lunch today. Just like the worst photo ever.
With like,
you know what, I miss imperfects.
With a really grainy filter on, and it's like exposed and saturated to the max. But it does offer this kind of interesting question, I think, this story, because it is talking about the direction that advertising is going, because it's these questions of, are people consenting to what they're being advertised, and is it now important to be given another option? And it's looking like there's going to be a number of services as well that are, you know, it's essentially going to be like a consent or pay option. So either you consent to being tracked and being served adverts for free, or you have to pay. Do you think social media would ever get to that that point where it would, you know, essentially serve a user an ultimatum.
So I was just trying to think then, because I guess we were both of that generation where social media launched. So we've gone in our like sort of adolescence from not having anything to suddenly having all these platforms that you can start using. Mm. And I don't know if you remember like the MySpace, the Bebos, even Facebook in its infancy, there wasn't any ads on it. So we've already experienced social media ad-free. Yeah. Younger generation probably haven't. And something I've been wondering is, how did they survive back in the day being ad-free?
Yeah.
If they're saying, for example, here there's a number, advertising accounted for more than 96% of its revenue in its last quarterly financial results. So clearly, the way social media is making money at the moment is from advertising revenue. I'm assuming the £5 is because it doesn't, you know, it stands to lose a lot if it starts showing users ads.
Yeah.
And if all companies are going to stop showing users ads, they have to essentially convert to a subscription-based model to get people to use their site. But then you're essentially subscribing to use a social media site. Is that going to stop you using other sites if you're paying for a subscription? It is kind of genius in a way, you're going to get users to commit to a platform, but then if all sites are doing it, people are already a bit iffy about social media these days. Is it going to put people off? I don't know.
Or is it just going to end up like with our streaming services where we just all have five subscriptions at any time, you know?
Yeah. Will it create a monopoly where people decide, oh, all my friends are actually paying for this one, so this is the one that I want to use? Because I was trying to think then, because like when I first used Snapchat back in the day, there was no advertising on it. Mm, then suddenly a few updates turned it into like an advertising dream.
I think the thing is, it's like there's just no other way for them, you know, they're not selling anything. The only thing that they can sell is our attention and our time.
But then that also, we're getting philosophical here and psychological, like, why should we have to pay to communicate with other humans?
Oh, now that is a good question that I would like to ask directly to the phone companies.
But do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Is that if we're saying, right, there's this epidemic of like loneliness, and especially like male loneliness as well, seems to be a big thing, and we're just putting more and more hoops and monetizing more and more like basic interactions that you've been having with human beings, right? Now we're saying internet is a human right, like you should have access to internet. Obviously, you do have to pay an internet subscription, but like water, food, shelter, right? Surely communication and community should also be a core part of the human experience. So if we're blocking that by putting, you know, monetary value on subscriptions, just talk to people, like if you're already paying for a phone to talk and like to text and ring people, why would you then pay for WhatsApp, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter? Why are we trying to monopolize that and make people pay for that when we should be pushing more into community in-person driven initiatives? But obviously I'm not a private company. That's just how I'm seeing it from the lens of, we need people to be talking more in person. Why are we trying to monetize online talking?
Maybe this is what we will see, like in a direct response to this, people will be like, well, I don't want to pay for this, so let's actually meet in real life. Maybe this will be like a byproduct of it.
But then you'll get places like Meetup, like, right, pay £5, £10 for a Meetup subscription to see where these places are even happening. Joe, it's just, I feel like we're turning everything into a subscription. Like we're literally turning social interactions into a subscription model right now. Like, what do we actually own as human beings anymore?
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it is. Again, this is what I meant. It's a bit of a wild take, but it does kind of tie into things, though. I don't think I'd pay for ad-free. I mean, essentially, it's going to be free, right? But I reckon at some point, they'll just, like, make the features you can access smaller and smaller as well.
Yeah, and we've seen this with subscription services as well. It's like, you know, Amazon Prime, you pay for that subscription service, and now they've introduced adverts, and you have to pay more to not have adverts.
Right.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like, this is the initial offer, and then that offer changes. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see if one, it happens, and two, like how many people do it. And I'd be interested to see people's reviews. I might actually have a bit of a deep dive later.
Same, it's interesting.
And see what people, if people have already got it in the EU, you know, what do they think of it?
I mean, anything that is reducing the amount of data that's getting into other people's hands is good, but do I'm going to pay for that? I'd probably just stop using the site. It's just going to be like full of ads.
You Now, you've raised a good point. We did have an order of the stories that we're going to do, but I think that point that you've just raised, you've just talked about not sharing your data. Yeah. I think we should talk about 23andMe.
Let's do it. No, it ties in, it does, doesn't it? So I don't know if, well, many viewers may have seen the 23andMe news because it has been around on quite a lot of news sites this week. But if you don't know what 23andMe is, it is a company that allows you to take DNA samples and it will do a genetic test to decide where your ancestry is from. You can like find DNA matches as well with like long lost relatives. It's quite like widespread at the moment. There's other sites like MyHeritage as well.
Mm. In the UK, Ancestry DNA is like the alternative, is our version really. So you might have heard of Ancestry DNA, whereas 23andMe is like the US.
The American, So I've actually done one before. I've done the MyHeritage one, but I'll talk more about that later. Have you done one?
I've done an Ancestry DNA one, yeah,
okay, we'll get to that in a second then. So what's essentially happened? So the American 23andMe genetic testing firms filed for bankruptcy after a major data breach. Now, I think when these sort of DNA testing providers came out, people were worried and the companies assured them, don't worry, your data's safe with us. No one's ever going to get their hands on it. But I don't think people thought they would go bankrupt and be up for sale to people. Because they filed for bankruptcy after months of concern over its financial health and its ability to keep users' genetic information secure. In light of the uncertainty looming over the company's future, these are recommendations. You should do one thing to protect your privacy today. Delete your 23andMe account. These are the sort of like headlines we're seeing. And they're probably making people panic as well if you've done that. Because you might be wondering, from a UK perspective right now, I don't think it's too worrying. But if you're in America and you have private healthcare and say your private healthcare provider gets access to your DNA records, do they then have grounds to deny you access to certain treatments?
Oh my gosh, that is
quite
such
big ramifications.
Yeah, that is such a good point that I didn't even think of.
No, that was the main thing I thought when I saw this, because people were always like, what? I was just thinking, I was like, well, what can actually happen if your DNA is in the hands of someone else? What can they really do? You can't really clone you right now, right? As far as we know. But then I was like, what ramifications can this have for you? I was like, in England, I think it's good because it will just fuel public like studies here. But I was like, in America, because it's capitalism gone wild over there at the moment, like that's going to get used by private companies and it's going to A, also be used for studies, but B, I think it's also going to be used to deny people treatment because it's a pre-existing condition, all up people's premiums. Like, oh, you might be like genetically, I don't know, inclined to definitely have Alzheimer's when you're older. We're going to charge you this extra premium because now we know that's probably going to happen. I think that's a bit worrying. And I think these companies told people your data's safe, we're not going to share it with anyone. But if they're bankrupt and someone else buys the data, how do you assure your users that that's the case?
Yeah.
And how do you
even
ensure that your data's getting deleted properly if you've gone into administration?
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry, it's all been a bit of a word vomit there.
I hadn't even thought about that angle. And when we've been doing our prep for the episodes, we always like have a look around. And this was by far one of the biggest stories this week. It was like on every news site, a massive discussion about it. I think it is going to set like a precedent that maybe future companies will follow.
Yes.
I'm kind of hoping that, you know, MyHeritage or Ancestry DNA will look at this and then maybe they'll take measures into account to be like, in the case of this, we will be doing blah, 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 blah to protect your data. But it is a really interesting question that we've not really seen before of like, if you have a company whose main assets is data that is sensitive and that company no longer exists, like what are the ramifications? What happens?
Yeah, where does that go? And you surely you should be entitled to know how that data is being used as well, right? So apparently, privacy and civil liberties experts do not recommend using ancestry and DNA testing services. There's a few federal privacy regulations that limit how companies can use your information in the US, even your genetic data, but how a private company maintains, stores and shares your data is left up to the whims of the people running it. Privacy policies change often, and so do executive suites. Not only is your data vulnerable to hacks, it can also be used for various commercial products and shared with law enforcement. Because I guess a lot of worry was about law enforcement, and there's a whole, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you should be safe. But then the more I was about to say totalitarian, but more, let's say, extreme an administration or a company's regulation bodies get, the more likely police enforcement are going to start using things like that.
This
is, you're subscribing to the free world, right? But if the free world is no longer the free world, like, you can't guarantee your data is going to be used in a good way.
Yeah.
And also, if you're in the UK, we are bound by consumer laws here, but they're not the same ones in America if you're using an American company.
So you used MyHeritage?
Yeah, I did. I actually checked it this morning because we were talking about this in the office, because I kind of forgot what my like different percentages were. And when I logged in, I think I'd not logged in so long that I had to wait and generate another report. So clearly they'd not stored down my ethnicity data, which was interesting because I had to reload it all. But I don't know, I was just intrigued to see if I was like 100% English or whatever. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I used Ancestry DNA because my dad and my sister are like very into ancestry work. They've done loads of work on our family tree. So my dad just bought us all like kits for Christmas, and I was I was a bit like, well, you've done one, Nat's done one, Mum's done one. Is there going to be any room for doubt when I do one? But they were like, oh no, it's interesting because you never know what's going to, you know, like crop up, and the percentages can be different, blah blah blah. So yeah, I have used it. I haven't really logged on in a while, and I hadn't really, you know, I kind of forgot about it. But with the news this week, it is making me think like, oh, maybe what I think will be,
delete it.
Yeah, what I think will be really interesting from this is, will it actually affect other DNA companies? Because people will look at this and go, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. I'm going to delete my data now, even though Ancestry DNA and MyHeritage aren't in trouble.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, I've not actually had a look online, but I have a look afterwards, if any of the other companies have issued press releases about this to sort of
kind of calm, like, people's nerves.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously, people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to delete my data. But if other companies can guarantee how your data should be used if this ever happens to them, then you're less likely to be worried, I suppose. But I just think at the moment, when it comes to American companies, with secure data, like, how secure is it actually?
Well, I mean, that was like, another big story this week about security.
Oh, the text leaking. I want to say text leaking. It's not really leaking a text if you add someone to the group chat.
If you're in the group chat.
Oh, my gosh.
There are some big questions. And I just think at the end of the day, it's one of those things, isn't it, where it's like, what we really need to be doing is building, like, critical thinking and digital and technological literacy in people. Because I think so often you can just be like, look at this shiny product, and people go, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, using filters or the AI apps where it's like, oh, let's look at what I look like with grey hair or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you've just given your face to this app that you know nothing about, and now it has a picture of your face. Like, you don't know who's made this. You don't know where they're storing this data, how they can use it. Whenever there's like a trend like that, I'm always like, I'm not using that. So it's like my voice and my face is already out on the internet quite a lot being in radio. So I'm trying to limit where they can get it from.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think we really need to start building that digital literacy so that people can take that moment and go, yes, this is cool, but actually, you know, what are the risks of participating or using this service?
Well, another one of my concerns as well, like, it does sound like they were having like financial trouble for a few months, and maybe it isn't really related, but I know there's been lots of talk and lots of action about cuts in American government funding, especially for like research bodies. And it does make me wonder, like, has the amount that's been cut from certain types of research affected 23andMe? And could that be like some of their sort of financial like funds has been limited by those cuts? And is that why now they're suddenly at this point in time, like, you know, about to go bankrupt? And is that worrying that the government could have had such an impact on such a type of company? You know what I mean? It does make you wonder. It might not be connected at all, but the timing is
It's one of those things as well. You just don't know what the, you know, as an end case user, you don't know what the wider implications are for that business or how they operate or anything.
Yeah. I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist again, but the timing.
But the tinfoil hat is coming out.
Yeah. I'm calling that sus.
Well, I feel like we've had a really good, like, deep dive and kind of a big ethical discussion this week on these on those two stories. Lots of food for thought. If you've got any any thoughts on this, you can always get in touch on our socials at Tech Girl Energy. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube.
Hit us up.
Thank you for listening.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.